Rings, Swords, and Monsters, Lecture 10. Imitations and Reactions. Brooks and Donaldson.
The success of The Lord of the Rings and the figure of its author, who fans even call the Professor when they raise a glass to his memory on January 3rd each year, has cast a very, very long shadow over all the fantasy literature written since the 1960s. And I say the 1960s because even though The Lord of the Rings was published in 1954 and enjoyed very solid sales, it didn't become the worldwide phenomenon that it is today until the 1960s, with a bunch of very complicated stuff about pirated paperback editions and so forth that we can leave out. But in general, every writer that's come along since then has to deal with Tolkien somehow. Even if they don't believe that he invented the fantasy genre, they know how important he is, and they know how important he is to the other readers that they want to pick up. So, how do these various writers deal with the fantasy genre? Well, we have what the critic Harold Bloom calls an anxiety of influence. Now, Bloom does this, I have to say, in the figures of the Romantic poets, and he's got a whole bunch of kind of Freudian material in there about how they have to kill the father in order to be, and we're not going to go that far. A better way, I think, of reading the anxiety of influence is to suggest that writers, on the one hand, want to be parts of traditions. They want to see themselves as being in the tradition of other writers who have come before them. But on the other hand, they want to be recognized for their own individuality. They don't want to simply be rewriting the same fantasy story over and over again. And this is certainly the problem that writers have when they deal with Tolkien. There is an enormous amount of what you could call derivative Tolkienian fantasy that came out since that time. A great deal of that fantasy may have been generated by the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game phenomenon that really gets started in the 1970s and is very big in the 1980s. And Dungeons & Dragons had a very complex relationship with Tolkien. I think it's worth talking about for a second before we move into books. The Tolkien estate would not allow Gary Gygax and the Dungeons & Dragons people to specifically use things from Tolkien. They had copyrighted character names, they had copyrighted races of creatures and so forth. On the other hand, you couldn't really do fantasy without Tolkien. And so the Dungeons & Dragons people managed to invent most of Tolkien's stuff with different names. So they found that they could use the word halfling, but they couldn't use the word hobbit, but they could give them the same characteristics as the hobbits. And instead of wizard, they often used magic user, though I don't know if that's a copyright issue or just they wanted to try something different, make a wizard be a certain level of magic user. They couldn't have a Balrog. So they have a big fiery demon called a Balroar demon. And you can see how this would play out. You take the Tolkien idea and you either find its source in some medieval literature and draw it from there, or you change it just slightly enough that the Tolkien estate can't sue you for copyright infringement.